John, Dan Campbell spoke at the podium yesterday.
He did.
And Brad Holmes will speak later this week. For Dan, let's start with a short summary. How would he grade his coaching?
Kind of love him, right? He is, he's very honest about, and he, what he says, we're kind of all like, yeah, we've said it on air. Mm-hmm. Like, the season was a failure.
Yeah.
We said it last year. Season was a failure. They didn't end up in the Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They didn't even end up in the playoffs. So we kind of were talking about the same things. And then to hear it from the coach, at least you have somebody in a position of power that agrees with our thoughts and our feelings.
There's no excuse making.
No.
He was asked about play calling. Would he be open to calling plays next season? This is what Dan Campbell had to say. How do you feel about it?
All right. Yep. So, hey, he wants to do what he feels best for the team. What do you feel is best for the team?
Right. Look, the idea of your head coach calling plays is not a foreign concept.
No.
A lot of guys do it, and a lot of guys do it well. Just to give people context, of the teams in the playoffs now, the majority of the head coaches call one side of the ball. And it's both one seeds. Mike McDonald of the Seahawks calls the defense. Yeah. Sean Payton of the Broncos calls the offense. But you can go up and down the list. Rams and Sean McVay. Niners and Kyle Shanahan. Those guys have played for, and in the case of McVay, won a Super Bowl. Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur, Liam Cohen, Dave Canales. The majority of the coaches in the playoffs are calling plays. So it can be done. It doesn't have to be too much on your plate. You'll have to delegate. If Dan Campbell's going to call offensive plays next season, John, it reinforces to me that they need someone on the defensive side that doesn't need someone to help them. A more experienced defensive coordinator, a veteran who's run defenses for a decade, someone where Dan Campbell can just say, dude, it's you.
Yeah.
I'm not stepping into meetings. I'm not helping you out. I can trust you to run the defense solely as an experienced defensive coordinator. That would be my thought. If Dan's going to call the offense next year, I need an upgraded defensive coordinator.
He's been very non-committal on both, which is appropriate at this time, right? He's got, this is the first week of the offseason. This is the second day of the offseason. And he spoke yesterday. And I always feel like the day after the season ends is a little bit early because you're going to get a lot of, well, I need to evaluate the positions. I need to evaluate the players. I need to evaluate the coaching staff. I need to evaluate myself. And he, you know, in regards to, you know, who's going to be calling plays next year, that's all part of that evaluation. The offense was markedly better when he took over for John Morton. That bar was really low.
Yeah. The defense got worse, and you may have some issues with situational football and you know, running the team at the same time while you're calling plays. So he has to figure out the best way of organizing game day operations. I'm not opposed to him calling plays next year. I'm really not. But John, to me, then it means I need Raheem Morris running my defense, or I need Todd Bowles if he's let go, or I need Jim Schwartz. I need someone who I can say, hey, that's off my plate. The flip side would be if Dan says, I don't want to call plays, I'm going to go get an outside play caller, then maybe he can keep Calvin Shepard and be more of a CEO and oversee both sides of the ball.
But so to be an offensive play caller, obviously you've got to be an expert on defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
His expertise, we all know, is off. It's the same thing. Like when you're talking about all these other play callers, yeah, you've got to know what's going on the other side of the ball. I don't know that whether or not he is the play caller, that should determine what they do on the defensive side of
things. Okay, so I'm oversimplifying that.
Well, not necessarily. So it's you got to take a look at the defensive side and say, how can we improve? Is it a matter of health and personnel? Is it a matter of recognizing that personnel and being able to call the defense that best fits that personnel? Not because I love man coverage. I want to be aggressive. I want to blitz.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have that personnel, you can't keep doing that. And we saw in the Bears game, they didn't have the personnel to keep going man, and they finally moved to a more, I don't want to say passive defense, just a different style of defense because it was more zone coverage and it fit the personnel better. Why did it take so long?
Yeah.
But they eventually got there. Now, what did he learn as a defensive play caller moving forward to next year? Like, what can he tell Dan Campbell when Dan calls him into his offense and he's got all the metrics in front of him and says, I need you to convince me that you are the guy moving forward?
248-539-9797. Dan Campbell says he's open to calling plays next season. What do you want to see happen with the coordinator spots, and do you want Dan calling plays?
So I was going to ask you guys, what do you think if hiring an OC and going to be the play caller is the most important attribute? For me, it's somebody that's run a more pro-style offense because of Goff. Somebody that fits with Jared Goff. Like, I was kind of hoping that Zach Taylor got fired from the Bengals because he's from the Rams tree and has a past with Jared Goff, that would have been kind of an attractive hire to me, because somebody that's like had some running, you know, I don't know if that person's going to fit.
At the same time, Dan's going to want someone that runs his offense his way.
Right.
Well,
because if he's going to loosen up the reins, he wants to trust that someone's going to do exactly what he would do if he was in that spot.
Yeah, but I do worry about him being too stubborn to it having to be his way. He has taken over two OC's play callings midseason. You know, that tells me that I'm reading in between the lines a little bit that he's a little bit stubborn, and maybe somebody with some fresh ideas could help too.
All right, more texts and feedback on Dan Campbell as a play caller. How do you guys feel about that possibility for 2026? Here's some of the feedback. Guys, the Lions season's over. Can we please talk Pistons? We will do both.
Yeah,
open
and
Lions.
We have been talking Pistons.
Plenty. Guys, when Dan took over play calling, the offense got better both times. Just stay as the play caller. How involved is Dan on defense when he's calling plays? That's a big question.
So to your point, like if he is the play caller and he is going to be obviously all week long, that needs to be 100% of his focus.
Right.
And he is not in those defensive meetings, or he's not overseeing Kelvin Shepard or whoever that defense coordinator is more than he would normally.
Well, that was my thought process, is not just certainly during the game when things are moving so quickly, but even during the week, if Dan's going to skew more to the offensive side of the ball, which those are his roots and he's called plays before, I want someone on the defensive side of the ball who is experienced and can conduct themselves without any oversight from the head coach. And no knock on Kelvin Shepard, he's at an early stage as a defensive play caller. He right. does need more support from his head coach. I don't think a Raheem Morris would need the same level of oversight, or if Todd Bowles is let go in Tampa Bay, or Jonathan Gannon. I'm just giving you coaches. Jim Schwartz, now that Stefanski was let go in Cleveland, Jim Schwartz is going to be looking for a job. And they're all different styles of people and defenses. And I'm not telling you that any one is perfect for Dan, but he should be doing some vetting and making those determinations, because I'd feel better about him calling plays if Todd Bowles was running the defense, for example.
So yes, on the surface, that sounds like it would make all the sense in the world. My argument is, if you're going to make that change, if Dan is going to be the play caller, why wouldn't you make that change anyway?
Yeah, I suppose.
So
yeah.
It's somewhat semantics, but I do think that there needs to be a deep dive into is Kelvin Shepard the answer?
Right. We talked about it last week a little bit.
Whether he's a play caller or not.
So where are you at? Because, okay, new year, people might not have listened last week. You weren't in last week. Stoney made the case, give him another year. I said, I'm ready to make a change. Nothing personal, like the guy, but this is business. We're chasing a Super Bowl. How do you feel about it?
I go back to the Philly game and everything leading up to it and some of the changes that we saw, even in week one against Green Bay. I thought there were some changes and shifts that he did defensively in game, and then all the way up until the Philly game, I thought this defense actually is starting to play really well. And we talked about the Tampa game where it was, hey, they were able to manufacture with having everyone out in the secondary against a good wide receiving core and a quarterback that was hot at the time in Baker Mayfield. Okay, yeah, it seems like Kelvin Shepard is the guy. But since the Philly game, and you know, you look at and I think you got to take a look at the Giants game and say, yeah, Jameis Winston isn't the starting quarterback. He's also a quarterback that has had 4,000-yard passing seasons. And he had one of those days where he's just simply throwing it up and it's being completed. Well, why is that? Because, one, he can do it. Second, it wasn't the greatest performance. So it's kind of both.
Yeah.
But they never seem to recover from that. And then you see them play against Chicago at the end of the season.
Right, much better.
Against a quarterback or a coordinator that we know is really good, a head coach and coordinator that we know is really good at calling plays. So it's, why was there that dip from the Philly game to the Chicago game?
Yeah, and it was not a dip. I call it a valley.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. It was, why did they struggle defensively in those games? And if it's simply injuries is not an excuse, but it can be a reason. I'm willing to give them another year.
Okay.
Because I saw enough.
I thought it was a mixed bag.
It wasn't good enough. Special teams.
Yeah.
All right. We know Dave Phipp is a really good special teams coordinator. Was special teams good this year?
No.
No. Are you ready to get rid of Dave Phipp?
Hadn't really thought about it, but no.
Right. So I think you got to take a look at everything and say, what are the things that they did well? And I'm sure Kelvin Shepherd is looking at these. Like, okay, where did we fall short?
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to be more critical about himself than he is. But is he willing to make changes and shift not his philosophy on football,
right?
But when guys do get hurt, you're going to have to shift how you operate.
Can you bend? Can you be flexible? Can you make those tweaks? I don't need to see zone when you're already eliminated from the playoffs.
Because we saw Robert Saleh do it
right
in San Francisco.
Well, that's another example. Failed head coach that's running a defense at a high level. Those are the type of dudes I'd be interested in bringing in here.